quiz. Is this butt rock? Or is this butt rock? Turns out the answer isn't so simple. Depending on when you were born, you may have very different ideas of what butt rock is. But have no fear. Today, we're going to unpack the genre, the much maligned genre that we love, to find out what exactly is butt rock.
Perfect example of all of these bands that were reheating Pearl Jam's Nachos. Like, they were just repackaging it and smoothing out the edges and making it poppier. And I think that's what butt rock is.
Who was reheating Pearl Jam's Nachos? Find out as we try to come to a unified theory of butt rock. That's today. I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with a special edition of the Up North Report. Drivers in Bemidji and nearby communities may or may not have noticed new cameras attached to utility poles. Installed by the Paul Bunyan Drug Task Force, the devices are automatic license plate readers, or ALPRs. The devices take snapshots, which capture the time, date, place, and vehicle description, as well as plate information every time a vehicle passes by. Paul Bunyan Drug Task Force Commander Dave Hart of the Beltrami County Sheriff's Office says the devices were installed to further investigations into drug trafficking.
But they also serve, you know, a huge benefit to our member agencies of the Paul Bunyan Drug Task Force to assist them in their investigations for serious crime, violent crime, missing persons.
Many ALPR systems today use artificial intelligence to process the license plate images into data files. Vehicles of interest are searched by registered users and stored into a data file called a hot list. While Minnesota law dictates how this data can be used in criminal investigations, civil rights groups like the American Civil Liberties Union are concerned that this type of surveillance can be abused. Alicia Granzi, a staff attorney at the Minnesota chapter of the ACLU, explains.
There's definitely a concern that this data is going into databases that can be accessed by federal agencies, in particular, the Department of Homeland Security, ICE. The data is supposed to be used for criminal investigation.
Hart says he understands the concerns, but the task force and its use of ALPRs are in full compliance with the state law.
We're not trying to hide anything. If we wanted to conceal them or make them more covert, you know, we would have done that. But that's kind of not the purpose of them. The company that we're using is one of the largest and most reputable companies for ALPR technology in the country.
But concerns persist, including as recently as this past week. The Illinois Secretary of State issued an order for law enforcement agencies to cease sharing license plate data with federal or out-of-state agencies. The action came out of concern that Flock Safety and its privacy algorithms did not adhere to state law. This is the same company that made the ALPRs placed in the Bemidji area. The same day, the company announced it had ended a pilot program with federal agencies. Minnesota lawmakers initially put ALPR rules on the books in 2015. St. Louis County has 10 that were installed in 2024. The task force's 7 are posted in fixed locations around the city of Bemidji, and 1 is in nearby Northern Township. There is also 1 each in Park Rapids, Akeley, Manoman, and Pine River. Commander Hart says the recent federal designation of Beltrami County as a high-intensity drug trafficking area served as the main impetus for installing the ALPRs, but he notes the technology could also assist in an abduction case. Bemidji Mayor George Prince says the council was not notified about the ALPR installation, but he discussed his privacy concerns with the Bemidji Police Chief.
My quick take on it is it seems like it is a good thing overall and that it aids in investigations, but I'm certainly open to additional conversation on it.
Police in Grand Rapids are using mobile ALPR tech. Grand Rapids Police Chief Andy Morgan says the devices are integrated with the department's dash and body camera system.
Where we are now is agreements between Minnesota and the providers and the agencies using this technology that, you know, allows for that information to flow more freely than it has in the past.
Minnesota law says that data collected by ALPRs can only be compared to a statewide data repository, but Flock Safety promotes its capabilities with a network of 20 billion monthly reads across 4,600 agencies. Granzi says this is worrisome.
it's only supposed to really be pinging with the Minnesota license plate data file. The way that this statute is written, it's like, no, you can't have this central repository. You're not supposed to have that, but they do.
Instances of federal agencies accessing statewide or even national data have put some lawmakers and citizens on edge. But Flock Safety maintains that it doesn't own the data, and it's the agencies who own it and decide how it is shared. Read our deep dive on this topic at KAXE.org. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
Welcome to World Cafe. Hey, I'm Kaleo. Happy Labor Day. I was tasked with putting together a mix for this holiday episode, and I was stumped, so I asked our producer, Miguel Perez, if he had any suggestions.
How about a butt rock mix?
Hi, Miguel. Welcome.
Hey.
I think that's fantastic, but, like, are you talking about music like this?
No. I'm talking about music like this. Yeah.
And then it hit both of us that we have very different ideas of what butt rock is.
Very different.
And so we thought we would try and give you our own definition. But before we get too far into this, we want to point out this is all done from a place of love. Butt rock may sound like a pejorative, but we love most of the songs that you are hearing today.
Yes, it's tongue in cheek.
But my definition of butt rock as a kid who was born in the late 1970s, it's a very specific time for music. Late 70s, early 80s, very machismo, hypersexualized, cousin of glam rock, Winger, Poison, Motley Crue. Those are butt rock bands.
And to me, as like a younger millennial, butt rock in my mind is early 2000s. It's post-grunge. It's Nickelback. It's Creed. It's A Puddle of Mud. It's that subgenre of rock music. So clear.
So I guess butt rock in a way belongs to everyone.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Let's consult the ancient internet text that is Reddit. What did you find online about this term?
One of the first things that comes up is this. To me, it sounds almost like an urban legend because I couldn't find actual proof of it. But it is a mention of this nationwide advertising campaign on hard rock radio stations in the 1990s that used the tagline rock. Nothing but rock. And then listeners quickly change that to nothing but rock. And it just refers, I guess, to anything that was played on hard rock radio stations.
I absolutely do not buy that because we could never get listeners to even remember the actual slogan, make up a new one. So I'm going to dismiss this one out of hand. I found Matt Cameron of Pearl Jam and Soundgarden, who in an article from 1994 said, butt rock is just the stupidest basic three-chord rock that you can possibly play, and it works with big crowds.
Yeah, that sounds straight up just like derogatory. I found this pretty interesting definition on this blog called Overthinking It. The writer Mark Lee talks about this theory of a unified theory of butt rock and how it's sort of like on one end of the spectrum, and then on the other end of the spectrum you have head rock, which is more intellectual.
Pink Floyd,
challenges you.
Radiohead, things like that.
Exactly.
And so it exists as an antithesis to it, which I think actually gets very close to the heart of butt rock, which is if the cool kids, the punk kids, and the underground kids thought you were lame, you were butt rock.
I think that's exactly it. I think butt rock to me is sounding like something that has been polished to kind of maximize its commercial appeal, right?
Ooh.
And to the cool kids, that is like a big no-no.
And so you're butt. You silly butt.
You're a butthead.
Okay, that makes a ton of sense. So if you're just joining us, it's World Cafe. I'm Kaleo along with our producer, Miguel Perez. We are unpacking the phenomenon known as butt rock. And I think it's time for a little show and tell. Like, I would love to play a couple of songs that we consider definitive butt rock.
I want to remind people, this is not pejorative. We, like, love this music, so.
Yeah, please don't send us hate mail. We're fans. And I want to play this song from Poison because it is a good time. I don't know if it's nothing but a good time, but it definitely feels like butt rock. Almost a parody of what glam and hair metal were doing earlier in the 80s. From 1988, it's Nothing But a Good Time from Poison. Glorious fun. Brett Michaels, Nothing But a Good Time here on World Cafe. We're talking about butt rock, and that word might mean something to you, but what we found out is, depending on when you were born, it means very different things musically. And that, as a Gen X guy, was my pick, Nothing But a Good Time from Poison. Let's hear what a younger millennial has to say. Miguel, what do you got?
You know, I am just like, I close my eyes and I am envisioning the song that plays at the end of a Michael Bay movie. Like, Optimus Prime has just died and the Transformers are solemnly driving down the highway. And the song that is playing is Nickelback, This Is How You Remind Me.
Never made it as a wise man. I couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. Tired of living like a blind man.
inside without a sense of feeling, and this is how you remind me. This is how you remind me of what I really am. This is how you remind me of what I really am. It's not like you to say sorry. I was waiting on a different story. And this time I'm mistaken for letting you a heart worth breaking. And I've been wrong. I've been down. Been to the bottom of every bottle. Three spot words in my head. Scream, are we having fun yet? Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no. It's not like you didn't know that. I said I love you and I swear I still do. And it must have been so bad. Cause living with me must have damn near killed you. And this is how you remind me of what I really am. This is how you remind me.
Played that song so much back in the early 2000s. I had to play How You Remind Me hundreds and hundreds of times. Yeah. I was reminded. This is World Cafe. It's World Cafe. We are unpacking the genre known as butt rock today. And I did not think Nickelback How You Remind Me was a good example of it because I found it to be so self-serious.
Yeah, I think to me butt rock is sort of the opposite. I think there was like a pivot that happened in the early 2000s where like things started to get really solemn and stoic and like macho and masculine. And so like all of the bands that I perceive as butt rock were very like serious.
Wow. So like while the 80s where there's all of this debauchery and everyone's living high off the land, it's all good time, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. 2000s, we're in a war, there's been a national tragedy, and as a result, like that shifted, the tone got a lot darker.
Yeah, exactly.
So now that we've played a few of our favorites, I think it's time to play a little game called Butt Rock or Not. We're going to play some music and you listening at home can decide whether you think it's butt rock, and we will offer our opinion. First up is Three Doors Down. A bit of patriotism at play on that song from Three Doors Down, When I'm Gone. I never considered that butt rock, but you? What do you say?
Absolutely, yes. Like, Three Doors Down is the perfect example of all of these bands that were reheating Pearl Jam's Nachos. Like, they were just repackaging it and smoothing out the edges and making it poppier. And I think that's what butt rock is, basically.
Funny you should say Pearl Jam. Because in this new world of redefining butt rock, I think they almost fit. And I wouldn't have said that before this conversation. But one of the important things to remember about the grunge scene in Seattle is the two biggest bands, Nirvana and Pearl Jam, came from totally different bents. Nirvana was a punk band. Its soul, its ethos was very punk, whereas Pearl Jam's music was very much rooted in classic rock. I could totally see it as butt rock. What about you?
It's going to be a big no for me. I think Pearl Jam is, like I said, like they are what a lot of what I consider to be butt rock bands were emulating. They're just a little too rough around the edges, and I don't think it's a fit.
Fair enough. I think we've also gone easy mode. Let's increase the difficulty. What do you think about this? I also want it to be friendly to the fairer sex. We've been talking butt rock as a traditionally masculine form, but
women can make butt rock.
Okay, so Evanescence, Bring Me to Life with the rap rock in it. What do you say?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I'm going to say no. I think that there are some elements in there that might conflate things. I mean, that song was massive.
Yeah.
There's that nu metal element. There's that rap rock element. It's very early 2000s. But I think Amy Lee is singing about something like very real. It's like coming from like a raw, honest experience. And just because a song is massively popular does not mean that it's like butt rock.
Fair.
You know? Yeah. So I'm gonna say no to Evanescence.
I have another 2000s band for you because I'm so fascinated. I feel like I'm out to lunch. Like, which one of these 2000 bands fits the criteria? How about a band that started out as a Radiohead clone and then went on to do their own weird thing? This song from Muse, Uprising. Say it. You know you want to say it.
I think in the grand taxonomy of rock music, Muse is in the same family as butt rock, but they're a different genus.
Oh, okay.
They embody the same spirit. Like you said, that they're kind of like a Radiohead knockoff. Is that what you said?
A Radiohead clone earlier in their career. Yeah, it's no disrespect. They probably tell you the same thing.
They were taking a lot of inspiration from Radiohead, which is sort of the same ingredient, like the same formula that you have like Nickelback doing in the early 2000s. So the spirit is there, but I think at this point in history, butt rock's time has passed.
Okay. So it sounds like we've got a pretty good idea, pretty good handle on what butt rock was and is, generational, attitudinal. But what I want to know is, has the door closed entirely on this genre? Is someone making a new school version of butt rock?
I think the label has expired.
Okay.
You know, we're not calling things butt rock anymore. It feels like a thing of the past, but the spirit of it is still with us in artists like Benson Boone. I would say like Morgan Wallen, a lot of these like super popular.
Is Imagine Dragons butt rock?
Oh, Imagine Dragons, they're something. I'm not sure what they are, but
they defy definition.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. This has been fascinating and illuminating, and we want to close with what I think you could call post-butt rock from Benson Boone. Here's Beautiful Things.
For a while there, it was rough, but lately I've been doing better than the last four cold Decembers I recall.
And I see my family every month. I found a girl my parents love. She'll come and stay the night, and I think I might have it all. And I thank God every day for the girl he sent my way. But I know the things he gives me, he can take away. And I hold you every night, and that's a feeling I wanna get used to. But there's no man as terrified as the man who stands to lose you. Oh, I hope I don't lose you. Please stay. I want you, I need you, oh God. Don't take these beautiful things that I've got. Please stay. I want you, I need you, oh God. Don't take these beautiful things that I've got. Oh. Please don't take. I found my mind, I'm feeling sane. It's been a while, but I'm finding my faith. If everything's good and it's great, why do I sit and wait till it's gone? Oh, I tell you, I know I've got enough. I've got peace and I've got love. But I'm up at night thinking I just might lose it all. I want you, I need you, oh God. I need these beautiful things that I've got.
Beautiful things. It's Benson Boone here on World Cafe. An example of what we think might be post-butt rock, or what butt rock might look like as we head fearlessly into the future. My producer, Miguel Perez, hanging out with me, Kaleo, as we went through this deep dive, this investigation. I learned a lot, Miguel. I'm so glad that you brought this up, because in my mind, I had a set definition of this word, and I've grown because of you.
You're welcome. And butt rock for life.
There you go. We're back in a minute with more World Cafe.
Happy Labor Day, and thanks to everyone who's working hard out there. We really appreciate it. Good morning. My name is Dan Gannon. Now, a message paid for by the Minnesota Department of Health. Sometimes you just need to talk about it, but it can be hard to find someone who really listens. That's why there's 988, with support that meets you where you are, confidential and staffed by trained folks who want to help when you need someone to talk to. Call or text 988 or chat online at 988lifeline.org. Registration is now open for the Itasca Orchestra Youth Strings Program. Classes begin September 15th. Learn more and register at itascaorchestra.org. And we'd like to thank Dragonfly Coffee, located in Central Square Mall in Grand Rapids, featuring a scratch bakery and offering espresso, bubble tea, and more. Empowering inclusion and community through employment. Special orders available and more at drinkdragonfly.com. Coming up at 1 o'clock today, your volunteer on the river host will be David John until 4, and Alyssa Ellen will be on tonight from 7 o'clock until 10. Now back to the World Cafe.
Welcome back. It's World Cafe. I'm Kaleo. I'm not sure that's a segment that made me new friends, but potentially some quality enemies. Thanks to Miguel Perez for his work on the session, our World Cafe producer, worldcafe.org, if you missed any of the session. And if you like butt rock and want a huge playlist across all generations, it's there for you. Now a band that could fit head rock and butt rock at the same time, maybe one of the only bands, as we give you some of that to round out the hour. Here's Tool.
Mm-hmm.
From their 1994 album, 16 Stone, Gavin Rossdale singing about a machine head. And earlier, Miguel talked about drawing a line from bands like Pearl Jam to bands like Creed and Nickelback, and you couldn't have done it without the missing link that was Bush in the mid-90s. Before that, Metallica, a band that if you ask most people, hey, that's hard rock, that's heavy metal. But if you ask metalheads, that's butt rock. And the record they sold out on, the massive Black Album. We've got more bands where you can decide butt rock or not when we get back to World Cafe.
Hope you're having a great Labor Day, and thanks so much for listening to the World Cafe on People Powered Radio, KAXE, KBXE. My name is Dan Gannon. United Way of 1,000 Lakes hosts the Lumberjack Mile and 5K Saturday, September 6th. Registration at 8 a.m., race at 9 a.m. at Grand Rapids Public Utilities. Proceeds benefit the United Way's School Pantry Coalition, a network of 11 schools addressing student hunger with nutritious snacks and weekend meals, uwlakes.org/lumberjacks. We receive support from the Oak Hill Assisted Living in Grand Rapids, providing personalized care in a home setting. More information at oakhillseniors.com. Happy Dancing Turtle near Pine River invites 4- and 5-year-olds to participate in the Tiny Turtles program this fall. Classes begin Monday, September 8th and continue twice a month through November. Classes are held entirely outdoors. Find more info at happydancingturtle.org. And now it's time to get you back to more from the World Cafe from People Powered Radio, KAXE, KBXE.
Welcome back to World Cafe. And we're still playing butt rock or not. After the insightful discussion we had at the top of the show, we're playing some bands that may defy description, but you could potentially call them butt rock. And like we said earlier, we don't want to discriminate. All bands can be butt rock. So here's Heart with Barracuda.
I wanna take All right, pencils down. We've reached the end of our quiz. What do you say about Matchbox 20, Van Halen, and Heart? You can let us know on our socials or on Blue Sky and YouTube at World Cafe. That puts the wraps on this edition of the show. I want to thank our affiliates nationwide who make it all possible. And we produce this program from WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. I'm Kaleo. Thanks for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by Visit St. Pete Clearwater, Florida, where white sand beaches meet the arts. From the Dalí Museum to more than 500 public murals. More at visitspc.com. And by AEG Presents, bringing Haim on tour across North America this fall. More info at haimofficial.com.
This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker, we are People Powered Radio in Northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org. Good afternoon and happy Labor Day, everyone. My name is Dan Gannon. Ripple River Gallery south of Deerwood hosts the dual exhibit Reclaimed / Reframed now through September 28th. Featuring sculptures from KAXE's own John Bauer paired with photographs from Rachel Kane, the exhibit proves that one person's trash is another person's treasure. Open Wednesday through Saturday from 10 to 5, Sundays 11 to 4. Do you rely on KAXE? Are you at least 70 and a half years old? Supporting KAXE's future is easy. Ask your financial advisor to set up